What up, what up, what up? Welcome to another episode of 94 Feet with Coach JT. Do me a favor, leave a like and subscribe to the podcast. Please leave a comment. Let me know what you think. As this summer, man, I continue to try to bring this heat and this fire. Let me jump right into this introduction, man. My guest today began her collegiate career playing at Southwest Missouri State University in West Plains, where she competed for one season. During that season, she was a member of the Region 16 championship team. Also, from that, she went later on to receive her Associate of Arts in General Studies from Pinole College, where she also played there as a sophomore season. After leaving Pinole, she then transferred to, the best college in the land, Alcorn State University, where in her first year there, she was named second team All-Southwestern Athletic Conference team, as well as newcomer of the year. In her final season, 2004, she was named first team All-SWAC and to the All-SWAC tournament team. She was also recipient of the team's most outstanding blocker award and served as the team's captain. She also continued to graduate from Alcorn State University, where she earned her bachelor's degree in arts and political science with a minor in pre-law. Currently, she is entering, I believe, her fourth season as the head coach at Tennessee State as the volleyball coach. She was actually introduced there as the head coach in 2017. Coach Sutton, how you doing? How's it going?
Hey, it's going well. I do want to say entering my
5th
year.
Oh, 5 years. Okay, give me right then. I appreciate it. 5 years. That's even better. Let's keep it going. So as you put learning to the podcast, 94 Feet with Coach JT, we jump right into these questions, but also we want to give a little background to the listeners. Missouri, growing up in Missouri, what was that like? And, you know, we all got our, well, we see TV or we hear about it, but you're from there. Give me a little background about growing up in Missouri.
I mean, I grew up in a very rural area. My hometown is called Hayti, Missouri. It's southeast Missouri. I am legit 80 miles from Memphis, which is south. And I am 250 miles from St. Louis, which is north. We sit in a very great location because we're close to so many different things. We're in a tri-state area. So I really grew up traveling a lot, and my parents really instilled that early. So though I'm from a rural country town, and I experienced the country life, like whenever we had a break or summer break, spring break, whenever, like my mom packed us up, we were traveling. So we were going to Kentucky or Chicago or wherever. And I feel like, you know, her giving us that experience really kind of helped me to think outside of just being a country girl.
That's what's up. So growing up, early while, again, I know we took coaching volleyball, now I play collegiately, but were there any other sports that you might have tapped into during this stage growing up? I mean, again, back then we had to play everything or try to. So what other things did you kind of come across and mess with?
I mean, yeah, again, I'm a country girl, so I grew up legit trying everything. And you, from where I'm from, you start off with t-ball, softball, and that was my sport. I played pretty much all summer, and then of course spring with my high school team. So I was on traveling teams. I played probably from t-ball all the way through I graduated high school. So actually softball was my heart. That was my love sport. And I did play volleyball from seventh grade. And it was kind of like what I did in the off season of softball, which is crazy now that softball has really taken over and become, you know, the love of my life when it comes to sports, because that's what I do every single day.
That's what's up. So as you know, now, like I said, talking about club sports and taking over, during this phase growing up, I just asked all my guests, how much time would you say you was putting in working on your softball craft, especially being in the area? Was it an all day thing? How many hours a day would you say you put in working out?
I mean, legit. Listen, I was that kid that when we got out of school, there was like an hour and a half between getting out at 3:30 and having to go to practice at 5. And I would legit sit there and watch the clock waiting to go to practice. That's how much I loved playing sports. You know, I had my older brothers, they played baseball, and I was always trying to catch them. So I was always trying to be like, oh, I could do it too. And it just really turned into something that I loved for myself. Even with volleyball, same thing. Like in the gym, Like, you're in there. So after school, you just don't go home. Just go to the gym until practice starts.
Yeah.
And I really feel like that type of dedication is lost along the way now, because we didn't think of it as work. We just did it because it was fun.
Yeah, that's what's up. So I guess growing up, just some type of people you may have looked up to, or kind of outside of your, if there's anybody outside of your brothers, maybe, which I mean, that could be the right only person you need. Is there anybody else, like maybe mainstream, you might have looked at in the sports world back then for trying to be like or emulate anything like that?
Really, it was just my brothers, but I will say, which is very ironic, you know, I grew up in a household where you were going to know your history and your heritage, especially in February. So growing up and learning about the, you know, athletes that came before us and all of that, of course, that was great because we learned about everybody else, you know, the Leontine Prices, the Martin Luther Kings. But I legit was taken by Wilma Rudolph's story. And that was like my favorite all-time athlete. So to be at Tennessee State now, and it's like I don't think I've ever told anybody that, but to be at Tennessee State now, and this is where she started from, like, this is Tennessee State pretty much is Wilma Rudolph when it comes to track and field. It's surreal sometimes.
That's what's up. Come full circle. Let's talk high school grind a little bit. High school, how many sports did you play during high school?
Man. Okay, we didn't have basketball. That's how small we were. Okay. It kind of went in and out. And when I got to sixth grade, they took it away. And then it was in high school, and I was like, I'm playing high school, and then they took it away. But it's back now. They're winning state champion. They're winning conference, district, state. And they're doing it all. So we produce pretty good athletes from my area. So I played softball, I played volleyball, I was a cheerleader, and I started off trying to do track, but I realized I'm a volleyball girl at heart. I don't like all that running, just to run. I need to be chasing the ball or something like that. Right. So track and field wasn't my friend.
Okay, that's what's up. So high school goes through, again, multiple sports. Let me harp on academics for a second. Where was you at academically going through high school? Because, again, a lot of my guests have different stories about struggles, successes, good. Where were you at academic-wise during high school?
I mean, honestly, I legit should have done more academically, but I finished in the low teens of my class, which to me, I was like, oh, okay, but school came easy. So I just kind of did enough because I was always told, you can play any sport you want as long as you get those grades together. And so I was an AB student. I could have been a straight A student if I would have focused more. And I feel like that's one thing I wish I could probably go back and do. But, I always made my grades. I always did the work that was necessary for me to continue to do what I love. And I feel like we have that's what a lot of athletes, but yeah.
That's what's up. A few highlights. What is your taking from your high school career? Anything that probably stands out that sticks with you forever? Any championships, anything like that?
We didn't have any championships, but I feel like what sticks with me was more so just like the experience of playing where I was. We didn't have much, but my coach believed in me 100%, and she's the reason why I am here where I am today. She went out and made sure that these coaches looked at me. Hey, there's a kid you need to look at. But my best experience in high school probably have to be the fact that I don't know what it is now. I'm told it's still the same, but I held the home run record for softball for one season. I think in one season I hit like 11 or 12 home runs. So for our area, for where we're from at that time, in what, 98, 99? That was what it was.
Yeah. That's what's up. Okay. Okay, what about struggles? Any period in that high school career where you had to think about doing something different? I'm gonna quit, anything like that?
Definitely. So when I was 16, I was diagnosed with a heart murmur. And it was devastating because you know how when some preseason about to start, you go get that physical and you excited because you're ready to go to practice. Well, yeah, the doctor didn't clear me and I just didn't understand what was going on. I was going to my junior year. and he just said, no, we need to send you to a cardiologist. I'm 16, like, what do we mean? So I ended up missing my junior year of volleyball, and it was really hard. Of course, you know, nobody understood. I didn't understand it at that point. But that was really challenging for me because in that moment, I didn't have a sport to run to. I legit had school and I would go to work, and it was kind of hard, but I feel like, you know, once I saw the cardiologist, pretty much he ran all the tests, told me everything was okay, and I was cleared. It was the end of the season, but I still knew that I could move forward and play softball in the spring. So, I mean, of course it all worked out in the end, but that was a very challenging time.
That's what's up. Made it through. That's good. So you get ready to go. It's so senior year, right? And now, as you know, as a coach, you're busy. I mean, you're moving around. What was on your plate out of high school? It was like, okay, I got a couple of options. I got a couple of looks. Or it was, you know, what was going through your mind? You're ready to graduate. How did it work out?
Listen, God was on my plate. That's who. Because I legit did not have any looks. I didn't know where I was going to school. I was afraid to make a mistake. I didn't want to go to school close to home, but at the same time, I'm young. I don't need to be anywhere far away. And I didn't plan on playing sports. As good as I was in softball, we didn't have it at state at that time. So my number one sport that I love, that I've devoted all this time to, I can't get the looks that I need and move forward because the platform wasn't there. And with volleyball, you know, though I may have been extremely athletic, you know, really good with, you know, being able to hit, you know, put the ball away, there were still some things that I was missing because, you know, we're from a small town. We didn't really have much, but we made it work. So I didn't get any looks. I didn't have anything. And then it was a week after graduation, I was at work. And my coach came into my job and said, tomorrow, you be at the gym, 9 a.m. There's a coach here, and I want her to see you. And I was just like, okay, but in my mind, I'm graduated. What is she talking about?
Yeah.
I went in. I said a prayer before I went in, just to FYI, and I swear it came through. I went in, and all we did was have hidden lines, and I think I hit maybe three times, but I had never been this. I mean, I wanted whatever she was offering. I wanted it. And I legit was focused. Three swings. She offered me a full scholarship, set me on the path to being a student athlete at Missouri State of West Plains, and really changed my life.
That's what's up. Coach looking out too. That means a lot in the clutch time. So you get to college now. What's the biggest thing you adjustment you know you got to make from high school gameplay to national JUCO gameplay?
Learning that you can't just go out there and play. And I feel like that's where kids fall in between the cracks. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, hey, I did this in school, or this is what I did in high school. That's what got you here. But what's going to keep me there was the IQ. And I didn't have it because all I was used to doing was going out there and playing. Just play. Just go out there and play. Be aggressive. Do what you know how to do. Use your athleticism. You'll be fine. Not in college. And that was the hard adjustment. That was the rude awakening for me.
That's what's up. So what about the workout regimen? What was that like? The training part?
It was rigorous. we had to run a mile and a half, timed. We had to train. And when I say train, I mean, we had to run a timed mile and a half. I think it was twice a week. We had to run a mile before practice started. We had to have weights three times a week, and we practiced every day. And you still went to school and did your homework.
Right.
So if you needed time to figure out how to eat and all that other stuff, that's on you.
Right.
But you're also a freshman. and it's your first time away from home, and it's so much happening. And I'll be honest, like I came in with some of the best teammates possible, because we banded together and pretty much set the schedule. Like, all right, this is what we're doing. Oh, we're all in this class. All right, well, we're gonna make sure everybody up. And them doing that really showed me the way and kept me on track. I'm really good with accountability, and I'm never gonna let you down, so don't let me down. And that's what pushed me along.
That's clutch right there. So at what point in time that freshman year did you say, I'm staying or I'm going home? Or you already, or was you in it from the jump? Once you got locked in with the teammates, were you good to go? Or is there a point where you might have thought about going home?
Oh, yeah. Freshman year, I was good because I was still learning. It was sophomore year that it came down to that, because I still hadn't wrapped my brain around everything I needed to know for the IQ of the game. And because I wasn't there and we were still having to run all these miles every single day, I just didn't understand, like, oh my goodness, like, is this volleyball? It came that time. And it, you know, I was like, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me. And I remember my coach pulling me in the office and pretty much telling me, because of the mile, because I wasn't getting the stuff, IQ, like, are you sure you want to play volleyball? Because, you know, you might need to think about an individual sport. And I'll be honest, I was offended. Like, she downright out hurt my feelings, because I was like, oh, you doubting me. So, you know, I went back to my room. It was our lunch break. And I was upset. I cried. I was like, you know what? I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can be here. And me calling home, I called my mom and I called my brother, and I told them what happened. And I was so upset. And they didn't tell me stay or go. They didn't say anything. Whatever you decide to do, we support you. And I think that was enough for me to know that they really meant you need to sit down and you need to stay where you at. So that's what I did. And honestly, walking back in that gym, not letting her know that she defeated me or quitting was the best decision I probably ever made, because I haven't looked back since.
That's what's up. So speaking of not looking back, finished that second year there, sophomore year. What's on the plate for you, or how do you end up at Alcorn?
So, you know, I explained how me and my coach at the time relationship was kind of rocky. I felt like she didn't believe in me. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what? It's fine. I'll just find me another school, a coach that does. Found another school. They were interested. Ended up going there. And a former player from that school was at Alcorn. You know Toya.
Oh, yeah.
So Toya was home, I believe, for like a weekend or a break or something. And she comes by the gym. We're in practice at Panola. And she's just scouting us out. Like, legit told us she's scouting us out. And everybody's just like, oh, okay. Practice was over with. She walked up to me and was like, what's going on? Where are you going? What you doing? Like, you know, we need you. I'm going to tell my coach about you. We'll be in touch. That was it. It was no extra conversation. And I believe Millie called me maybe like a week later and was like, yeah, we need to bring you in on official visit. And the crazy thing is, she was like, I already saw you play. I've already seen you. And I remember her coming to one of our matches at Blinn. So that's how I got to Alcorn. But when I got to Alcorn, though, it was a whole nother type of situation. Because the night I made it to Alcorn, it was practice. And guess who was in practice? Yeah, it was practice time. So, yeah, I mean, I practiced with the team. And in the middle of practice, I remember there was a ball. And I just went up to pretty much defend the net. And as I did that, like, you know, I put the ball away and the whole gym just went crazy. I was like, Wait, why? And I just remember them saying, like, you better sign her. Like, she coming here. And I don't know whose spot she taking, Miss Toya. I don't know whose spot she taking, but she taking somebody's spot. And I was just like, oh, okay. I mean, it was just cool, like the vibe. It wasn't like, can she play? I didn't feel that vibe. I didn't even feel any pressure. But I felt like once I played and everybody saw that I could play with them, it was like, oh. It was like open arms welcoming, like, oh, yeah, she's coming.
Yeah, she was intense. Y'all was intense. I remember watching that. That was crazy. So driving up that stretch, though, what was on your mind? Taking that long road to finally get on the ground and be like, we here? What was you thinking?
My flight to Jackson was the worst flight I had ever been on in my life.
Small plane?
It was a regular plane, but it was a storm and it was turbulence. We legit fell like 20,000 feet. It was bad. And, you know, it's one of those flights when you get out, you just want to kiss the ground. And so you get out and then, you know, the coach is there to pick you up. You get in the car and you are driving for forever. And I was like, I did my homework. I knew we were going to the country. I just didn't know we were going to the country.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, this not that bad. We in Vicksburg. Then we get to Port Gibson. Oh, okay. You know, I'm from a small town. But then we turn on that stretch and it get dark. I was like, I said to myself, I don't know where she taking me. And then all of a sudden you just roll into all of these lights and it's just like, who put a school all the way out here?
Right.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
That's what's up. So experiencing that lifestyle too, the game environment for you, how was that? Because for me, again, come from California. I mean, my uncle went to Jackson State, auntie went to Valley, but me being and playing that environment where people are like, the games are like the hottest thing going. Like, how was that for you? How'd you take that in?
Okay, so I'm kind of like that introvert type of person who I don't really like the attention. I can't focus on it. So when I was in the game, I would block it all out. Of course, you would hear like different things or whatever, but I could never look in the stands. I wasn't one of those players that was looking in the stands to see if my boyfriend was here or who else was there. Right. Like, I can't do that. I have to stay here so I can stay engaged and focused. But you hear the fans. Like, I think our football team and our basketball team was the most invested in us. It was like, hey, when's the next game? Who do y'all play? Okay, we're going to be there. Don't worry. And I could hear y'all. Like, it was definitely motivational. It's just I couldn't engage in it.
Right. That's what's up. So I think those are some memorable times, too, just as far as supporting other sports, because kind of sometimes it's all you had. Some games, if it wasn't they didn't bring too much crowds in the other teams sometimes, unless it was a rival game, but we had to be there. Plus, it was one or two things popping on campus. That was it. So it was like, you better go, but I definitely remember that. So being at Alcorn, go through a good career, great career, handle your business, take care of your schoolwork, everything. Now, the grown-up starts to set in now. Like, what's at the end of your senior year, your accomplishments, is it pro level? Opportunity to a pro career or right jump into coaching? What's next for you after that?
Well, definitely I was that player that, you know, I never thought about pro anything. I really thought I was going into a career field. You know, I studied political science, pre-law, and I really, really like love politics. Grew up, both of my parents were heavily engulfed in just keeping us informed in what was going on in the world. And I really thought I was going into a career field. I never even thought about coaching. I do want to be clear about that.
That's how it happens.
And what happened was, because I had transferred in, you know, it was going to take me a little longer to an extra semester to graduate. So I was a super senior. And during my time there, finishing up, my old teammate had just been named head coach and she was out on maternity leave and her assistant was a softball coach. And she asked me if I would step in and help out while she was absent. And I was like, yeah, of course. So stepping in, helping out, and everybody was looking to me and not the assistant softball coach. She didn't know anything. And I was just looking at them like, don't ask me, ask her. And they was like, no, you tell us. What is it? And being on the other side, you got that view and that glimpse of, oh, okay, this is what it's like over here. And I specifically remember my setter who was still playing, Brittany Ward. Like, she was getting beat on the block. I mean, I'm like, and she kept turning around looking at me like, what am I doing? What am I doing? And finally, they called a timeout. And I went to her and I told her, listen, this is what you need to do. And it wasn't a because I said so, it was because she was looking to me for help and I wanted to help her. And she went out there, I swear, next play, block to the floor. She turned around and looked at me, and I was like, yes, baby. And but in that moment, it clicked. And I was like, I think this is what I want to do. Like that was my aha moment. Because here I am helping. Here I am doing something that I love. And here I am, really just serving others and not just, it's not just, oh, this is what I want to do. And yeah, ever since that day, I said I wanted to coach. Still went through, got my degree. But I said I wanted to coach. And I was specific in my request to the Lord. I said, I want to coach college. And yeah.
That's what's up. So, and speaking of that, like, so just as a college coach in general, for me, I mean, I'm asking you first, what is the hardest thing to do now on the other side? I mean, I'm sure it's repetition for a lot of coaches. What is the, since you were a collegiate player as well, what's the hardest thing to do being on the other side? Or not being able to do since you're on the other side now?
I think one of the hardest things is to really connect. And connecting is easy if the other party is open and willing. But now we have to, there's so many different things that you need to do in order to 100% connect. And I don't need 100%. I just need for you to be vulnerable enough to open up and trust me that what I am telling you is what you need to do so we can all be on the same page.
I definitely think so. We say like hardest thing for us sometimes also is we can't play for you. I can show you, I can teach you, but I'm like I wish I could just come out here in the game, but I can't do it because you've been there. You've played collegiately. You've been in situations, and the connection is huge. The buy-in is probably the biggest thing from players, especially like that. And so again, like reading your I mean, I did a little homework over the past couple of days. Your resume, your press is lengthy. I mean, put in a lot of work, right? So, and collegiate coach. Through your journey through collegiate coaching and being a female and being a black female, what has been the biggest struggle for you to get to the college level? Because everybody's path is different, but also I know being that you're a woman of color, but also should have educated women of color. So you know what you're talking about. You can do you can get in front of people and speak. What have been some of the challenges to get to this collegiate level where you're at today?
Well, I think some of the cha one of the challenges is just applying. Like, apply yourself and apply for the job. We were at a conference, I think before COVID, January of 2020, went to SOAR, and one of the speakers basically said, like, as black people, women, we complain about the opportunities, but are we applying to them? Now, that was a valid point. But I strongly believe that we are. Of course, I've been doing this for a while, and I have some friends, and a lot of them apply, and it goes unnoticed or unanswered. So I think just applying to the position, and even if you're not interested in it, apply and go ahead and start practicing interviewing so you can be prepared and ready for the job you do want.
So that process, talking about applying, right? I've done it. It's so lengthy. It's so like it's like if you do two applications in one day, you're probably tired after that second one or third one because you have to answer, cut and paste. And for them to wait 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks, say, oh, we've decided to go with somebody else. But, I mean, definitely on the basketball side, too, being a, again, not playing a pro career, not having a high collegiate resume as far as playing-wise, starting from the bottom, literally working my way up from grassroots to high school, junior college, back and forth now, again, high school, head coach. But sometimes it's like, okay, this is so tough. But then you see guys in, like, pro level, we see it. Guys who, again, have a better background, they get put in first place. Or as a female, you see gentlemen getting jobs because, again, I guess, you know, the male situation may not be as qualified. But are there times where you, I'm sure it is, but where you felt like, okay, you were qualified for the job and even got an interview and still didn't get it?
I'm going to be honest, actually, no, because I've only legit worked these two jobs. And for both of them, I did not, not that I didn't have to apply, but I was highly recommended from the head coach who just called me and was like, hey, I need you, or hey, come be my assistant. So I feel like my path was a little bit different, and I'm extremely grateful for that. But my thing is, that's what got me here. But what kept me here was my ability to work hard. Like, you know, I of course, we went to college together. I watched you play. I know exactly what you can do. And it doesn't matter if you didn't have this great post-career from college, all of this, all of that, because the guy that did may get the job, but can he keep the job?
True.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, it's like, yeah, he may have all of this, but, you know, it's a real, it's a saying that goes that the person, pretty much like the star player, oftentimes can't be the teacher.
Right.
Because they just know how to do it, but do they know how to explain it? Everybody cannot coach just the same way. Everybody can't be a beautician, right, or a teacher or a doctor, you know. And I'm not saying that I'm the greatest or the best. What I'm telling you is I will never be outworked.
Yes.
So for me, that is what has, I feel like, been my blessing and my attribute to the game.
That's what's up. So talk about outworked, and talk about your brother, your parents. Are they all a part of the collective reason why you are who you are? Like, that's in you? Because I can see that, like I said, I could just tell, right? I've seen it years ago. I see it now. And I'm like, again, it's just, some people have it, like they get it from, and they're blessed with it, right? But also it helps to have both sides. If you're blessed with it and your people, your family kind of got that in them a little bit, that's why you can go to Alcorn and show up on day one and be like, oh yeah, we can, you know what I mean? So who is that? Are they kind of help pushing behind that?
Definitely. You know, we were never raised to have to do anything. Like, you know, you have to go to school and get A's, or you have to play this sport and be great because, you know, your father was. We, no. Or you have to only date this type of person. They pretty much allowed us to, it was strict, but you were free in figuring out what you liked and what you wanted to do. But in doing that, it was 100% support. Now, one of the things I feel like did push me is my brother. He was an extremely great baseball player.
Okay.
He was a lefty. He could pitch. He could do everything. I mean, you know, batting average. He holds the baseball record at our high school. But I was always trying to catch him. And I wasn't better than him, but I was just wanting to work harder than him because it was like, man, I could do it too. You know, like, look at me, look at me. That's kind of, I feel like now looking back, you know, I was just trying to, I feel like, prove that I was just as good as he was. But, you know, my family has always supported me, and from to the point that not like smothering me with support, but if I need them, they're there. And I feel like that push, knowing that that safety net's there, knowing that they're always a phone call away, you know, that goes a long way with anybody. So, and them not being like at every game, at every event, really allowed me to grow as an individual.
Right. Yeah, that time away from being iced a little bit, you got one, two ways you're going to go, for sure. For sure. So you talked about just the coaching realm, right? I want to hit back on this, though. Just supporting? Because, I mean, even though I'm out here in California, too, like, we're trying to get small support groups. Do you guys have anything on the collegiate level like that, or, like, in your area where they actually, you can confide in other coaches, minority coaches, black coaches, to kind of keep going? Because we know, I know sometimes it gets mentally draining. Like, right, it gets mentally where, you know, it's tough. This past couple weeks for COVID, it's been crazy out here for me trying to get guys to play, and me, somebody test presumptive positive, all that stuff. Whereas physically, I'm like, guys, I'm tired. I'm trying. So where does the support come from just like your counterparts? Or is that anything that's in the works? Or you have that support out there where you're at?
Well, I'll definitely say that I feel like I 100% have my administration support. Dope. And it's important to feel like, you know, the group that you're working with and for supports what you're doing. So I do feel that 100%. And, you know, back in January of 2020, I went to a conference. It's called SOAR. And it's actually, it was founded by Tanya Johnson, who's actually an African-American coach. She's the associate head coach for the University of Texas. And I was excited to go to that, like super excited, because as you said, I wanted to kind of really, you know, explore and find that support and find my group. And, you know, we're all going through the same thing. And that's what SOAR is. It was great. But what happened was inside of SOAR was a great experience. But inside of SOAR, I found my tribe. And, you know, your tribe is that group that you can turn to no matter what. And they understand. They won't judge you. They want to help you. They'll pick you up. And it was all people that I've always known, except for I actually was introduced to one new coach. But us really, you know, having these experiences and talking, and I think COVID actually helped as well, because through COVID, you know, we continued to kind of check in with each other and meet. And now it has become, I think it's a every 2 week type of thing.
Dope.
So we're not, it's not only, oh, well, I have this going on. It is a, okay, so, hey, this is what I did with one of my players. Maybe this will help you.
Right.
Or what do you guys think about, you know, this on the sideline? What do you have your assistants do? Well, I generally, you know, so it's a huge think tank. And I feel like it has taken a lot of the pressure off of me feeling like it's just on me to come up with all of this stuff. And it has really been refreshing to be able to talk to somebody that understands what you're going through. So, you know, shout out to them, because, you know, it especially during COVID, it has really been a great opportunity to fellowship with other coaches, other, you know, head coaches, as well as, you know, just minority coaches as well.
For sure. I definitely always, I'm a big believer in that. Everybody needs somebody at some point in time. Everybody needs somebody or something. I want to talk Tennessee State just in general, as far as we talked about, I said you end up going to that college or getting their college job. How fulfilling was that for you to actually, for that to come full circle, right? Like, because I mean, I've done, like, getting my coaching my old high school now, or coaching at my junior college, have aspirations to go back to the collegiate level too. How fulfilling for that was you, though, initially? Was that like a big, because I said it when I coached my first game at the high school a couple weeks ago, it was like a relief or something off my bucket list. I checked it off. Like, how was that for you?
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I never even had it on my bucket list. I never thought I would live in Nashville. I never thought I would work at Tennessee State. It just wasn't something that I was aspiring to do, or, you know, it was an end goal. I feel like it kind of fell into my lap when it happened. I was in between South Carolina State. I had just left there. I was living at home in Hayti, Missouri country. It was January, snow, ice storm on the ground. And I got a phone call, and basically, you know, it was the head coach calling and saying, hey, my two assistants right now are out. One was on maternity leave and one had went home for a family emergency. And she was like, I need your help. Can you meet with me? And I was like, I'm not working right now. Like, I legit was focused on taking care of my mom, who was sick at the time. And she was like, well, just come over. We can have a meeting. And I was like, okay, well, when the ice leaves, I'll come over. I'll let you know when. And I think about 2 days later, I got myself up, got together. And as I'm driving to Nashville, which is 2 hours and 30 minutes, maybe, I said to myself, what are you doing? You're not finna take this job. Like, you at home. Like, what are you doing? And I almost turned around. Like, I was not interested at all. I was like, nope, you said you would go, take the meeting, and come on back. And I got there, we met, I told her, like, I'm taking care of my mom right now. And it was a volunteer position. And I was like, I'm not volunteering my time to anybody except for my mama. And she's like, I understand. Okay. And as I'm leaving, I stopped by one of the offices with, one of the workers that I knew. And they came and found me and was like, hey, we found money for you. So, yeah.
Now what?
They was like, hey, we found money for you. So, but listen, this is the thing. It was legit only, I think I was getting paid $20 every 2 weeks. Mm. So you said you wouldn't work for free. We found money for you.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wait, what? And it was like, well, you know, one of my old teammates lived here. I knew I could stay with her and all of that, but it was like, well, I don't know. I'll think about it. And it wasn't even, honestly, when I left there, I knew I was coming back. But in my mind, I was like, how did this happen? And that realistically is how I got to Tennessee State. It wasn't I applied for a job. It wasn't, like I said, a lifelong goal. Of course, coaching is, but I didn't know I would be here. Mm-hmm. And so once I got here and I looked around and I was like,
perfect.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we've even hit on the relationship part of it, right? All those relationships you've built, past, present, future, have either one way or another. I tell a lot of people now, these kids, don't burn those bridges. Be respectable on those meetings, those interviews, those visits, because you just never know, right? It could come next year. It could come 5 years, 6, 10 years down the line. And I think that's why now we talked about briefly about right now, people who went to school together, right? I try to make sure everybody, I was cool with everybody, because I want to be that dude. Hey, if JT asked for something, I'm going to come through for him if I can. So I think that was a blessing in his part, right? You had a relationship with the coach and she called upon you. You know what I mean? That was clutch right there for sure.
100%. And like you said, it's extremely important for you to always leave a place better than how you found it. And you don't ever want to burn a bridge, because the reality is at some point you're probably going to have to cross that bridge again. Mm-hmm. So no, 100%. I say this all the time, and I have just been blessed thus far. And I mean, I have interviewed for jobs, but the two major jobs of my career, I didn't interview for them. I was pretty much recommended and chosen to come in. And I feel like that's a testament to God placing me where He wants me to be. Because again, coaching is not just coaching. You are serving these student athletes.
Yep. Yep, definitely that. So before we get out, I know you got to get ready to get busy, get working. Anything you want to give, share to the students, athletes, coaches, whatever, it's your time, it's your show.
I just think it's important for the student athletes to understand that I don't like for my players to feel like it's a job, because they have their whole life to work. But I want them to understand that there is an expectation that comes along with you being granted this opportunity. But I also feel like that comes along with the parents holding them accountable and allowing them to grow up the same way. I used to wish my parents would be in the stands, but they had to work and were doing other things. That allowed me the opportunity to really expand and grow and learn how to handle my business without them. And, I really advise parents to love your kids, train them, raise them. But when they come to college and when they get here, understand that they have to grow if you want them to be where you know they should be. They have to. And it's like, I've seen so many situations where It's like, no, 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 no. But you still want them to be this excellent superstar athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, there has to be a growing process with that. So I think my only advice would be for the kids, the players coming in, just to come in and expecting all of what you thought it would be. Hard, you know, oh my goodness, this is exhausting. It's rewarding. You know, it's satisfying. It's going to be all of those things if you open yourself up to it. But the parents also have to know that if they call you and say that, oh, I can't got this, that, listen, you need to tell them that you love them. Tell them that you trust them as well as the coach that you left them with, and hang up the phone and let them grow up.
I think I say this, a lot of people, the HBCU community realize if you can make it down in anyone's HBCUs during what we went through, Katrina down there, we went through, God knows what else, the weather, the storms, the outages, you can make it anywhere. I mean, it's life, right? It's a preparation for life in a sense.
100%, and that's a lot of the things that I really say about Alcorn. I knew I could make it there because I was a country girl, and not being in a city really didn't turn me off from it. But one of the things that I feel like it really gave me was that sense of just purpose and family. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all here together, and no, we may not have talked every day or had a full-fledged conversation. I knew you knew me. And if I saw you anywhere, I was going to help you and give you what you needed. The same, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was that covering, yep, assurance that, you know, I got you, but from a distance.
Yep.
And it's hard to explain.
It's just, you had to be in that environment because, you know, it's like that, though. It was like that. It didn't matter. Hey, I see you. If I had, we all trying to make it right there, right? That's real life. I want to see you win. You trying to see me win at all costs. We don't care. Whatever we had to do to make each other, you know what I'm saying? That's what it was. And it was like, it was unseen, but you knew what they say, right? You don't have to be seen. I don't got to tell you, but it's written in the walls, you know what I mean? It's there for everybody. And I was, like I said, for now, it's been, man, and that time flew by, right? That time flew by. But it's still like that when people say Alcorn, when I see the colors, when I see classmates, I'm like, yep, it's always going to be there. It's always going to be love. So I know you got to get back to work. I appreciate you. Like, I really do. And best of luck to you. And I'm going to be tapping in with you. You know, you got me out here. If you need something, just holler at me.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you. All right. Have a good one.
You too.
All right.